Our Lady of Grace homilies are brought to you by a generous parishioner who encourages you to join in prayer for mission churches worldwide. Explore the Frontiers of Faith podcast for further insights into these missions.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, and you lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the Israelites may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go forward after them. Then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his charioteers. The Egyptians should know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." The angel of God, who had been leading Israel's camp, now moved and went around behind them. The column of cloud, also leaving the front, took up its place behind them, so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and that of Israel. But the cloud now became dark, and thus the night passed, without the rival camps coming together any closer together all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind throughout the night, so it had turned into dry land. When the water was thus divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. The Egyptians followed in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers went after them right into the midst of the sea. In the night watch, just before dawn, the Lord cast through the column of the fiery cloud upon the Egyptian force a glance that threw them into a panic, and he also clogged their chariot wheels that they could hardly drive. With that, the Egyptians sounded their retreat before Israel, because the Lord was fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may flow back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea flowed back to its normal depth. The Egyptians were fleeing head on toward the sea when the Lord hurled them into its midst. As the water flowed back, it covered the chariots and charioteers of the Pharaoh's whole army, which had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one of them escaped, but the Israelites had marched on dry land through the midst of the sea, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. When Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore and beheld the great power of the Lord had shown against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the Israelites sang a song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot he hath cast into the sea." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their land, they defiled it by their conduct and deeds. Therefore I poured out my fury upon them, because of the blood that they poured on the ground, and because they defiled it with idols. I scattered them among the nations, dispersing them over foreign lands. According to their conduct and deeds I judged them. But when they came among the nations, wherever they came, they served to profane my holy name, because it was said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' yet they had to leave their land. So I have relented because of my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God, Not for your sakes do I act, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you profaned among the nations to which you came. I will prove the holiness of my great name profaned among the nations, in whose midst you have profaned it. Thus the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when in their sight I prove my holiness through you. For I will take you away from among the nations, gather you from all the foreign lands, and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, a place, a new spirit within you. Taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. You shall live in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord.
From the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint him. Very early when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
As Americans, we tend to sanitize death. We try as hard as we possibly can to avoid the blunt reality of it. We avoid funerals. When a loved one dies, we don't even have a funeral. We think that it would be abuse of our children to take them to a funeral. We're terrified of it. That's our culture. As a priest that works in Hispanic ministry, Hispanic funerals are really different, totally different. And usually, if I go to a graveyard with a Hispanic family to bury a loved one, they normally demand to stay there and to watch as the body is lowered into the ground. And that casket goes down, down, down into the earth. And as a human being watching that, so tragic, so sad, brings me to tears, and I usually didn't even know the person. But as an American, it is absolutely chilling to watch. It has a sense of finality to it, and the reality of death is on full display in that. And I imagine that the same feeling filled the disciples as they placed the body of Jesus into the tomb on Good Friday, and as they rolled the stone over the entrance of that tomb, that it was chilling. That was the end. But on Sunday, they found the stone removed, the tomb empty. And the same disciples that mourned his death made an unimaginable claim. He was alive. And they began to proclaim to the world, by his death, he conquered death. It seemed an absurd thing to say, but they staked their lives on it. By his death, he conquered death. What could it possibly mean? And in that statement is held the mystery of the entirety of the Christian life. And the only way that we will ever understand what that means is if we live it personally, if we experience it personally. The only way we will ever understand that is if we enter the tomb with Jesus so that he can conquer death in us and give us new life. In the early 1960s, the city of Milan in Italy was building a subway system. And they wanted one of the stops of the subway to be the cathedral in Milan. And while they were digging next to the cathedral for the station, they found the ruins of an ancient baptistry. And a baptistry is a separate building that's connected to a church where people would go and be baptized. And that baptistry, it dated from the year 387. And for all the history buffs out there, that means that baptistry was the place where St. Ambrose baptized St. Augustine. And the fascinating thing about the baptistry is how it was built. To get into the baptistry, you had to go down a set of stairs. And then as you approached the pool of water that was in the middle of it, you had to go down more steps. And as you entered the water itself, you would go down, 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 more steps. And the early Christians understood that entering the waters of baptism meant going down into the tomb. They were people that had realized that their life on earth had no ultimate value. And so they decided that it was better for their life to end. And that wasn't a decision of despair like we see so tragically and so often in our day, right? It was a decision of love. That they had met Jesus Christ and they discovered the joy and the peace and the freedom and the love that he alone gives. And they realized it was worth surrendering everything in their life to have that love. And if they didn't have it, if that love wasn't theirs, their life was worth nothing. And so they went down, down, down into that tomb of baptism and they died. And that death meant that they no longer belonged to themselves, that they would live their lives in obedience to God. That death meant that they would accept God's vision of the truth instead of the wounded vision of the world. That death meant that they would have to sometimes leave their friends or even their family. That death meant that they were going to be thought strange and different by the entire world, that they were going to surrender their freedom in order to follow Christ. But they knew by this death of baptism, Jesus will conquer death in me. And in the Christian life, they found new life. And it was worth it. It was worth every sacrifice. And that's exactly what St. Paul said in that reading today. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Indeed, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might live in newness of life. This is what it means to be a Christian. Do you notice what St. Paul says? Are you unaware? He's writing to Christians, and they had forgotten the mystery. They wanted to be disciples. They wanted to have the new life of Jesus, but they didn't want to go down into the tomb. Have you forgotten? And the truth is, I have. The truth is, you have. We've forgotten. A few weeks ago, I was over in the rectory and I was pulling out some shelves of a closet in my room in order to make space for a large box. I was inside that closet and I was pulling out the screws of the supports for those shelves and I started to panic. I said, what if that door closes and I'll be trapped? It was totally irrational. No one else is in the room. But I was so anxious. I had to stop what I was doing and I had to turn and look and to make sure that there was a handle on the inside of that door that I could get out of just in case the door closed. And only then could I get back to work. I didn't want to go into a place that I couldn't get out of. And that's how we follow Christ too. We follow him to a certain extent, but when it comes time to die, we have to make sure we have an escape. We don't want to go down into the tomb. And so we say that we love everyone, but to love and forgive that person who hurt you, no, I'm not entering that tomb. We say that we obey God, but when that obedience costs me something, my comfort, a relationship, control of my life, we say, no, I can't. We accept the truth of God, but when that truth is spurned by the society around me and it makes them despise me, I start looking for an escape. We follow Christ, but when he places a cross on our shoulders, we run far away from the tomb. Friends, the only way that we will ever experience the resurrection is if we follow him. And that means going down, down, down into the tomb. Where do you hesitate to live your faith completely? Without reserve, without conditions. What's that tomb that you will not go into in your Christian life? Are you unaware that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Today, Jesus offers us the grace to follow him and to surrender that part of our heart, to enter that tomb, and so to experience firsthand the unimaginable beauty and newness of his resurrected life.